world is on edge this weekend following the threat of Iran to directly strike Israel. Israel had struck and killed Iranian generals and senior officials of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps who were meeting at an apartment building next door to the Iranian embassy in Damascus. Mohammad Reza Zahidi, a senior military commander of the Al-Quds force, was killed. He was thought to be the top Iranian military representative in Syria and Lebanon. Then, on Wednesday, an Israeli airstrike in Gaza killed the three sons of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. Three of Haniyeh's grandchildren are also reported to have been killed in the attack. The USS Eisenhower carrier strike group is being repositioned closer to Israel's shores. The USA, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, India, Poland, France, Germany, Austria, and Russia, among others, are issuing different levels of travel advisories or travel bans to Israel, Iran, and the Middle East. Israel is poised to invade Rafah, the last stronghold of Hamas, in the coming days. The Times of Israel reported Defense Minister Yoav Gallant saying Israeli troops were withdrawn from the Khan Yunis area of southern Gaza to prepare for the expected defensive or offensive in Raza. The forces came out of Gaza and are preparing for their future missions. We saw examples of such missions in action at the Shifa hospital, and also for their future mission in the Rafah area, Gallant says, following an assessment at the IDF Southern Command. We will reach a situation where Hamas does not control the Gaza Strip and where it does not function as a military framework that possesses a risk to the citizens of the State of Israel, he added. End quote. Well, governments from around the world have been warning or threatening Israel if it completes its mission to destroy Hamas. On Monday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stated that a date had been set for the invasion of Rafah. He stated, "We are constantly working to achieve our goals, first and foremost the release of all our hostages and achieving a complete victory over Hamas. This victory requires entry into Rafah and the elimination of the terrorist battalions there. It will happen. There is a date." End quote. Well, negotiations have broken down again as Hamas says it cannot even locate 40 live hostages out of the 133 it still has captive to facilitate an exchange. The world is terrified of what is coming. Will Israel launch an attack into Rafah, sparking further regional response? Will Iran attack Israel and bring about World War III? Will there be nuclear war in the Middle East? Well, we know that Israel is not going to be obliterated because the land has been promised by Almighty God to Abraham and to his children. And the promise of Christ reiterates this in Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Events are being shaped by the angelic hands to bring about the situation that will bring Israel to accept their Messiah and turn back to him. As we look at the events this week, we see things moving in that direction. A headline on the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs website stated, "Iran and Hamas are seeking to destabilize the Jordanian government." The article stated, "Iran and Hamas have succeeded in destabilizing the Jordanian government, prompting concerns among Gulf countries about a potential domino effect spreading throughout the region. Jordan has witnessed its largest demonstrations in recent memory, with protesters expressing support for Hamas and opposing the continuation of conflict in the Gaza Strip. These protests, orchestrated by Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, in coordination with Iran, aim to undermine the rule of King Abdullah and create a new front against Israel along the Jordanian border." End quote. Well, Jordanian security services have detained hundreds of political activists from different parties since the beginning of the October 7th war. Jordanian authorities have been caught off guard by the size of the Ramadan protests outside the Israeli embassy, which averaged between 6,000 to 10,000 participants. According to the Middle Eastern Eye, the agency also reported that Sami El-Mayata, a former Jordanian information minister as stating Hamas abroad is trying to pressure Jordan to restore relations with the movement, he said, citing a speech on the 26th of March in Amman by Mashael, the head of Hamas abroad, calling on millions to take to the streets. Hamas wants to send a message that it can influence and lead the Jordanian street, which is also convenient for the Iranians who have not been able to exercise any political influence in Jordan, end quote. The Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs summed up the situation, stating Iran and its resistance axis pose a threat to the stability of Arab regimes reminiscent of the Arab Spring uprisings of 2011. The specter of a domino effect looms large, potentially spreading from Jordan to other U.S.-aligned Arab nations. In response, Gulf countries are expected to extend financial assistance to Jordan to bolster its stability against Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood threats and Iran's broader influence. They aim to contain the threat and prevent its spread to their own territories. Biblically speaking, we know that Jordan is not part of the invading alliance described in Daniel and Ezekiel. Daniel tells us in chapter 11:41, when Russia comes, he enters into the glorious land and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape or be delivered out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. That is the area that describes geographically what we call Jordan today. Amman being the capital of Jordan, reminiscent of the name Ammon. Well, rather than being allied to Russia's the Russian-led Northern Confederacy like Iran is, as described in Ezekiel 38, verse 5, Jordan is protected by the Southern Confederacy. The role of Hamas inciting the Palestinian population in Jordan may well steel the government against it and see them reaching out to other Israeli-friendly Arab states for support. Well, while the world writhes in political turmoil, one thing is certain. Israel's presence in the Middle East is God's doing and is unchangeable. Nations may wish for Netanyahu's replacement with leader that will be more pliable to Western pressure, but God is ultimately in control. And while we may look in dismay at current American president turning against Israel, the words of Rab Shakeh are brought to mind in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Now, behold, thou trustest upon the staff of the bruised reed, even upon Egypt, which, if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it, so is Pharaoh king of Egypt unto all that trust on him. End quote. This is true of Israel today. If it puts its trust in America, it will be sorely disappointed. Well, it is fascinating to see Israelis today who understand this principle. Jeremy Gimple, a U.S.-born religious Zionist who made Aliyah to Israel at age 11, is a rabbi, a commander in the IDF reserves, and lives on the Aragot farm in the Judean mountains close to Gush Etzion region with his wife Tela and their six children. This is what he posted just under a month ago.
Shalom friends, Jeremy Gimple from the Arugot Farm. I just want to give you a perspective on what's happening inside Israel right now. Last week, reports came out that the Biden administration is sanctioning a company that develops specific parts for the Iron Dome defensive system. So President Biden has decided not to eliminate the offensive abilities of Israel, not to not sell us bullets or weapons, but the defensive systems are now being targeted. Now imagine what that means. If you see the Iron Doming technology, you'll see that it is life-saving for Israeli citizens. Over 10,000 rockets have been shot onto Israel since October 7th, and now the Biden administration is saying, sorry, we're going to put an end to that. And everyone knows, if your eyes are open, what's happening right now. This video just came out last week, and you see dozens and dozens of tanks and armed vehicles that are making their way up north toward Lebanon. So Israel now, like a child on the playground, has a bully that attacks him, and Israel's punching the bully, and somehow the bully gets knocked down. He's not knocked out yet in the south. He's just knocked down, and already now we got to turn north and go after Hezbollah while that bully is still down. We're going to be fighting on two fronts. And what is America's response? Let's sanction the company that provides them the defensive system to protect their own civilians. So a lesson must be learned here. Our salvation will not come from the White House and from Washington. Israel is destined to stand alone. Now, we can either prepare, choose to stand alone because we stand with God, or we will end up relying on a broken reed of America who will ultimately splinter our own hands. Those are the choices that we have. And so, aside from waking up to the threats that are all around us and to never rely ever again on security fences or on technologies, but we must root out the evil around us, we also need to realize that the allies that we relied on, they're not to be relied on. The only ones we can rely on are ourselves and our God. That's it.
So the scriptures are clear. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help, whose breath goes forth. He returns to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4. So rather, the trust of Israel needs to be in their God. As the passage continues, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Verses 5 to 10. So the situation in Israel will bring about the change of allegiance in God's people. They will gradually shift away from trusting in America or in their own IDF and put their trust in Almighty God himself. The situation in the world around us is parallel to the time of the end of Judah's commonwealth, but with remarkably different outcomes. At that time, the Lord warned in Luke 21, verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and in the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Truly, men's hearts are failing them for fear in anticipation of what is coming. There seems to be no way out. Daniel captured the atmosphere when describing the kingdom of men in Daniel 7 verse 2, where he says he saw a vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. Well, there will be no lasting peace while the empires of men contend for their place and clamber to be at the zenith of human history. The scriptures accurately describe the situation. Isaiah 57 verse 20 tells us, the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Well, while the world reels to and fro in the storm, we have hope. We cannot be paralyzed with fear. And as the world descends into chaos, remember the words of the Lord. Verse 28 of Luke 21, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And Paul reiterates the confidence we have in the hope set before us in Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 11. He says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And he continues, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. This anchor keeps us from to be able to weather the storm, turning to face it from whatever direction it comes, while being securely fixed in our convictions. So as we watch the Bible in the news, our prayer is that mankind would see the hand of God, as the psalmist expresses in the 107th Psalm. Then shall they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they are quieted, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. While we await the arrival of Messiah on this stormy sea, who with a simple command, peace be still, can calm the sea of nations as he establishes the kingdom of God on the earth. For the Bible in the News, this is Jonathan Bowen joining you.